Welcome to the Rockin' Coaster Podcast, presented by First Paw Media. Whether your favorite is a Giga, a Steel Dive, or old Woody roller coasters are your thing, or you're a fan of classic rock, hard rock, or grunge, we talk about it here. Each summer, Robert and Michelle Forto travel the country in search of the best roller coasters and music festivals. Sit back and enjoy the show.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to the Rockin' Coasters Podcast.
I'm Michelle.
And we're happy to have you on the air with us. Today is day six of our Rockin' Coasters tour across America. We're currently in Dallas, Texas at the Sheraton, attending Podcast Movement 22, and it kicked off unofficially today. We started the day off with a long 9-hour mastermind class to dial in our value proposition for our podcast and other business ventures. Michelle, what did you think about today's mastermind workshop?
I thought it was pretty informative, and it wasn't a lecture. It was definitely well thought out, and we did a little bit of a round robin, if you will, or as you jokingly called it, speed dating, because we were given 3 minutes to do some little business plan style pitches, and that did not give us quite enough time to give a little background, tell a little story about ourselves, and then why we're going to do the pitch. It only gave us time to literally do the pitch. But as time went on, all of us really just kind of did what we were going to do at our own tables, keeping within the subject topic at the moment. And I think that there was a lot of learning, a lot of networking, and a lot of collaboration.
Yeah, we met a lot of great people there. Hopefully some future podcast connections. It's always good to learn from others. You're never too old to learn. I guess that's one of our life mottos, since we are both in school well into our 50s. So that's the reason why we come to this Podcast Movement Conference. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that in the coming days. But let's talk about the afternoon. As you know, Michelle, a heck of a lot of people here for this podcast conference. I think over 3,000. And this is my fifth one, your fourth. We've been to them over the last 5 years, except for 2020, of course, when it was supposed to be here in Dallas. But it's here, and it seems like it's much bigger than in years past, doesn't it?
Well, I don't necessarily know if it's bigger. The venue seems to be a little bit congested, but it's workable. And I don't know, maybe the congestion is forcing us all to do a little bit more of that networking that you're supposed to do at a conference. But what I did notice was there is a lot more vendors than I've ever seen before.
And a lot of big-time podcast producers, networks like Spotify, Amazon, NPR, Sirius XM, all of the big boys are here, aren't they?
They are.
So it's going to be interesting to see how it sort of pans out over the next 4 days or so. I have a lot already I have learned and hope to implement on my side of the podcast. Anything right off the bat that you're thinking about, Michelle?
One of the things I learned actually came from the guest of our show, and that was to cultivate the waste.
What does that mean?
So basically, and I may have misquoted, but what I took from that was, instead of just putting your wasteful things aside or in the garbage. That could be your time that you wasted. That could be a production piece that you feel like you wasted. Don't you lose those wasted opportunities. Instead, turn them into something that you can gain value from, even if that was something you learned from by wasting.
Right, right, for sure. And definitely export things that you don't have time or don't have expertise for. So that's a good business tip, whether you're doing podcasting or you run an Etsy shop or a YouTube channel or lawn service if you're a little kid, whatever. Hire the folks to do the work that you do not want to do.
Hire the folks to do the work that you find to be too difficult or outside of your own knowledge base.
So after the mastermind, it was registration check-in time, and this is where we really saw all the people that are here at the conference. We waited over an hour to get our credentials, our badges, and all the swag bags and all of that. It hasn't taken that long before, but they always entertain us with a live DJ and drinks and the whole nine yards. But like I said, there's a lot of people jumping into the podcast game.
There are, and a lot more representation by big business.
Yep, as we mentioned earlier. So let's talk about dinner. Over the last 6 days, we've talked about our ventures to different food locales across this part of the country. And we talked about this restaurant the other day, and we were sad because we didn't think we were going to be able to make it because they were closed on Sunday and Monday, and it's called the Pecan Lounge. And Pecan Lodge, an iconic Texas barbecue joint, and it is a popular spot. It's in the Elum, E-L-L-U-M, district of Dallas. Kind of an old school, off the main part of Dallas where there's a heck of a lot of bars and restaurants there. And let's talk about this spot. The line was literally out the door when we walked in. We got there right around 6 or 6:15, so we had to wait for a while, but that's kind of typical at these types of barbecue joints, isn't it?
It is when you're an award-winning one, and when you only open for limited hours. They open 11 to basically run out of food, or 8 p.m., and as we were there, they were literally running out of certain items. And that kind of makes sense if you look at it from a business model standpoint. You don't want to be known for the quality and freshness of your food if you constantly can turn it out. And in a barbecue place like that, you can't just constantly turn it out. You're going to have a lot of food waste if you are roasting pigs all day long and one person shows up.
Yep.
So it makes a lot of sense to do it the way that they have designed their business model. And, you know, supply and demand is exactly what they're banking on.
Yeah, we've watched a lot of shows on Food Network where this happens to their restaurants, where they know that supply and demand is a big driver for their business. And they do that because, as you said, they start their barbecue pits early in the morning, well before dawn, to cook for tonight's meal. And if they make, I don't know, 200 racks of ribs, and they sell those racks of ribs by 5 o'clock, it's not like you can, you know, whip up another batch of spaghetti or a grilled cheese sandwich or whatever else you're making different than barbecue, because
right,
that takes hours.
What the food items that carries them through until their 8 o'clock closing is their fried chicken, is their barbacoa, is there other menu items that they have that are already, they're able to replenish those much easier than their barbecue choices.
So let's talk about what we had. I had the 3-meat combo, and of course, I had to have more mac and cheese. I think I've eaten more mac and cheese on this trip than any time in my life. I've probably had it 5 out of the 6 nights, so a heck of a lot of mac and cheese, a side of banana pudding, which is one of my favorite desserts, and blueberry soda. I've never had that before. I guess it's from Maine, and that was pretty tasty, but my three meat combo included pork ribs, sausage, and brisket.
It was a handmade sausage.
Yes, handmade sausage, and boy, it was tasty. I did not add any extra barbecue sauce. I let the smoke and the rub provide all the flavor, and it was dang good. I'm not going to give my rating yet until Michelle talks about her meal. And you tried something a little bit different in terms of the meat choice on your entree. What did you have, and what about that meat?
I had the hot mess, and it was fabulous. That hot mess consisted of a very good-sized sweet potato, baked to perfection and loaded with all of the fixings that you would think about. You know, your bacon, your green onions, your cheese, and a very nice chipotle sour cream. But the best part of it was the Texas barbacoa. I have never had barbacoa. I know that it is of Mexican origin, so I expected it to have some spice to it. I do know that it can be made with goat or the parts of the beef that a lot of Americans don't expect to find in their food, like the cheeks. And I was fully understanding that I might end up with one or the other or both in this dish. And I wasn't going to go ahead and ask them, because if they had told me it was goat, then I may have been put off by it from the get. So I chose to go in blind, go in with an open mind and a hungry mouth. And I got to tell you guys, it was some of the most delicious meats I have ever tasted. It was very good. If you are not sure if you're going to like something, what Robert and I are even trying to share with you guys on this adventure-based podcast is that sometimes the adventure involves tasting and eating things that you wouldn't normally even consider, like his meatloaf the day before. And for me this evening, it would have been the barbacoa.
And you had a nice dessert. What was that?
That was the peach cobbler, which was more of a peach crisp, but it was very good.
So let's do what we do and give a rating for the Pecan Lodge. This is a 1 to 10 rating, 10 being absolutely fabulous. What is your rating, Michelle?
I'm going with a solid 9.
Okay.
Overall food, overall atmosphere. It was just your quintessential top-notch barbecue joint. It had the, you know, what was unique about their seating arrangement was all the tables looked the same, but they had gone to the thrift store and picked up a whole bunch of different types of chairs, which made it a lot of fun.
And you better not sit down before you order. Is that right?
You better not sit down before you got a receipt.
That's right. That's right. We saw them kick a couple of folks out of the tables before they had a chance to order. So
solid 9 for me.
Solid 9. I'm going to go with a 6.5.
What?
Yes. It was good barbecue, but I've had barbecue in a lot of different places. My favorite barbecue to date is probably, I believe it's called Joe's Barbecue in Kansas City that was in the gas station. That was very good. We stood in line for a couple of hours for that.
Yes, but the barbecue sauce there was a little too tangy for me.
Yep, that's
a little bit more vinegar-based, yeah?
Yep, your style is definitely the Texas.
My style is definitely Texas. Yep. And that says a lot because I am from California, and I do like my Cali barbecue, but I would probably default to Texas barbecue overall, and that could be because I lived in Oklahoma for 4 years, and we eat a lot of Texas barbecue there.
Yep, so my lower rating than last night was mainly just because barbecue is barbecue, and, of course, the way that they do it is pretty much the same as other places do it. The atmosphere was kind of cool, but it was very busy. Of course, we expected that. But yeah, definitely above average, but not the absolute best. And I know they've won a lot of awards, and we were anxious to go there. I would definitely go back, wouldn't you?
I'd make you take me back.
There you go. So that is the Pecan Lodge in the Elam district of Dallas. So if you're in this part of town, check it out. So Podcast Movement 22 officially kicks off tomorrow. We're going to be up bright and early for the keynotes and the breakfast and all of that. There's some interesting folks that are going to be keynotes. If you're not in the podcast space, you'll probably just recognize one name and that two names. Dr. Sanjay Gupta is, I believe is how you say it, from CNN. He is one of the keynotes, as well as Mark Cuban. And sports fans know who Mark Cuban is. He is the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He is also home-based here in Dallas. And, of course, more recently, he's known for the TV show Shark Tank. Everybody knows Mark Cuban from that show as well. So he's going to be one of the keynotes on, I believe it's on Thursday. So it's going to be interesting to hear him talk. And then we have some parties and after shows and all sorts of things. Lots of good times. Michelle, are we going to hit up the parties this year?
We hit them up every year.
What do you think about these parties? At Nashville, those podcasters could throw down. There was a lot of dancing and kicking up their heels and the whole nine yards. What do you think?
I think this crowd could be slightly different. You know, each podcast movement conference venue and city usually attracts a different group of people for the majority, if you will. Nashville is a happening town. We talked about that on one of our other episodes when we went to Nashville, didn't we? About Nashville?
I don't think so. We didn't have that podcast. It's definitely on our blog post. You could definitely check that out.
Oh my God, you guys. So we might have to do a bonus episode this time to talk about Nashville.
Compare and contrast Dallas
to Nashville.
And Nashville.
You guys, we are going to do a bonus show.
And Philadelphia.
It'll come. We're going to do a bonus show. And we're going to tell you why Nashville is highly ranked by us, and surprisingly, actually. I think that everybody that likes to come to any conference likes the parties, of course. That's what you come for. You're coming to network. What I am hopeful of is that while we're networking, it's not just a sales pitch after a sales pitch after a sales pitch telling me why their podcast is so super fabulous. Everyone's podcast is super fabulous. And the reason why everybody's podcast is super fabulous, even if you have too many mess ups or mistakes or bad quality sound, it's still the best podcast because you created it. And what you create is your passion, and it's important to you. And that's how we all get our voices out there. So keep in mind, we're not here so that we can sell our podcast to you and get you to listen. We are here so that we can learn and collaborate with like-minded individuals so that we can develop and bring you better content, partner with others, and possibly get a guest spot on your podcast and vice versa.
There you have it, guys. It is day six of our trip. We're going to start the second week coming up here in the next couple of days with Wednesday and Thursday here at the Podcast Movement, and we will be on every night until we land back in Alaska. Michelle closes out.
Thanks for listening. I'm Michelle Forteau. He's Robert Forteau. We are part of the Rockin' Coasters podcast on First Paw Media.